started, man.
Yeah, brother, I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And boy, do we have a special show for you this morning. I am joined by none other than Mr. Todd Alba. Are you, what's the name of your show? Is it Upfront News? Well, I mean, you got all these different titles. What is it?
I'm such a simple guy. My creativity was just like, let's just call it the Todd Alba Show. So I followed your lead, Earl. I wanted to call it the Earl Ingram Show, but that was taken.
Hey, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Earl, I am absolutely fantastic. We've been wanting to do this for a while, a crossover show, because you and I are on the same time. You're kind of more on the west or the eastern side of the state. I'm on the western side. You're cooler, better looking, and more talented. They put me out there with chickens out there in the countryside, which is fine. I think that's fantastic.
So listen, man. Go ahead.
But anyway, we should tell people our internet is down at Madison. They're working on it. So at least for the first hour, so people who normally listen to my show were privileged enough to kind of step in and be a little part of your show. And we're simulcasting statewide across the entire state, our two shows together. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here, Earl. Thanks a lot for doing this. Really appreciate it.
And if for those of you who know that voice in the background, that's our good friend, John Don Brown. Don Brown. And what's the name of your show, Don?
This Week in Waukesha, Saturday mornings at, what time is it again, Calvin? 8 o'clock. Did I get that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Phew. All right. So, I mean, a lot to talk about.
I was doing election
about.
Coverage last night, so I'm still waking up, well, just so, like Todd.
So there's a lot to talk about. I mean, let me begin by saying that I was not surprised that Dan Kelly didn't do well. Number one, he's a horrible candidate.
That makes two of us.
And when you look at a guy who, when is the last time somebody who sat on a Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, and yes, he lost, he was appointed by Scott Walker, and then when he ran, he was defeated. But when is the last time an incumbent Supreme Court person lost a seat? That should tell you something about who Dan Kelly was and is, and the fact that they couldn't find anybody else to run, or that he wound up being the person that they, the Republican Party, the Republican Party didn't do it, the voters did.
Right.
But clearly he was not the strongest person to run. His character showed at the end of things. I'm a big sports guy like most of you guys are, and what I've always told children is don't ever be a sore loser. And it shows a lack of character if you do what Dan Kelly did. And the fact that he was even allowed to go on as long as he did kind of shows that the media, you know, if I'm the media, I'm cutting him off before I allow him to continue to go on with the things that he had to say. So Todd, your thoughts, number one, on the outcome of the Supreme Court race.
Earl, for those listeners of yours that might not be familiar with me, I spent 30 years in the Republican Party. I left it in 2011 after some of the voter suppression bills that got passed through, and I was witness to a caucus, and I ended up walking out, and that was it. So I come at it from a different perspective a little bit, having been on the other side, and now, you know, I'm not registered anyway. I'm independent, but right. I voted Democrat ever since 2011. I'll say that up front. I think as a former Republican, I was appalled by that speech. We ended up using it last night on our coverage, and I get what you're saying, Earl. I'll simply say this. I, in a way, am glad that people heard that, because I think too often that side of it's glossed over and we don't actually hear the truth. And I think it's good for people to actually hear where these guys are coming from and know how bitter. I don't want to cross over too early here, but you see the same thing, Earl, in the speech by Trump yesterday, his actions. It's this ongoing thing, this theme of kind of meanness, of violence, of indignation, I'm afforded this. I should have this. And when they don't get it, they're very bitter people. So I thought it was telling more than anything else, that speech last night.
Let's, Don, your take.
Well, we were talking about this when we started. Kelly talks about his love affair with the rule of law and the Constitution. And if you really are true to those tenets, wouldn't you then have the same set of values to honor our traditions, and the most sacred of which is the peaceful transition of power? It's very hypocritical and it's nonsensical. And again, it's just another example of some of these people, not all of them, but some of them on the right, talking about the rule of law as it best suits them and their narrow set of beliefs. And it's tragic. It really is.
You know, Todd talked about the whining and gnashing of teeth about a state Republican Party and Republican talk show host about they outspent us. They really bought this race. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute, man. Maybe you guys, forgot about the state Senate race a few, seems like, days ago with Mandela Barnes and the amount of money that was spent in that race.
Yeah.
You know, how we forget so easily.
Right.
And we don't want to talk about that. That was not an issue then. But, Todd, somehow it's an issue now. I mean, some of us can discern the difference, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Earl. And I would say, again, from having been on the other side for several years and being in some of those meetings, I'll tell you this, Earl. We may agree with their policies and agree with their actions, but they're not completely just intellectually stupid people. They see the same polls that we all see. They see the same polls that the Democratic Party see. And here's the thing that my takeaway last night, Earl and Don, is that the Republican Party has some soul searching to do, some deep soul searching, because they are on the wrong side of the issues. And that is what propelled all these voter suppression and so-called voter ID bills, because, guys, Republicans have known for years, since the early 70s, they were on the wrong side, and they had a choice. They could either change their ideology to fit what the people wanted and what they believed in, or they could stick with the old line ways and simply try to suppress the vote. And that's the way they've gone. Get this. Charles Franklin, a Marquette Law School poll back in the fall, 27% of the base Republican Party in Wisconsin supports abortion in cases of rape, incest, or endangerment of the mother's life. They're on the wrong side of this issue. Mm-hmm. Whether Dan Kelly, absolutist, everybody has to have the kid, even endangerment of the life of the mother, that's the wrong issue.
Yeah.
Majority of people in the state want fair maps. Republicans are on the wrong side of the issue. So this is a turning point, guys, in my opinion.
So not only is this a turning point on the state level, but there are also turning points that we've seen the last several years in different parts of the country, Michigan and other places where people have just gotten to a point where, I don't know. I've always been one who has challenged why conservatives, people who voted Republican, And even though the Republicans couldn't show you anything that they have done to benefit the average, rural person or the suburban person, but yet people would vote that way anyway. Mm-hmm. And something has changed. And certainly, without question, Todd, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, But there are also some other things. As people financially have struggled, you can't see policies that Republicans have created to make life any easier for people who live in rural areas, even though, you know, they have switched to voting red as opposed to blue. And mm-hmm. and so Republicans are on in a situation that I think they've certainly done a lot over the last 10 years, 15 years, and became full of themselves.
And, let me give you a quick.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll give you a quick example. For years, Republican Party said local control. You know, decisions are made better at home than they are in Madison. They're better in Madison than they are in Washington. Right. Let me tell you, I was in the Capitol during the Scott Walker years. I never, Earl and Don, I never saw so much usurping of local control, whether that was high-capacity groundwater wells, whether that was fracking, going into rural local communities and telling the county board, the town, the village, you can't do what you want. We in Madison as Republicans are going to do what the big money people want down here.
Yeah, you know, and to add to Todd's point, as a former alderman, you had dyed-in-the-wool Republicans in our city. I know it's nonpartisan, but you had a mostly Republican city council and then mayor. He's no longer Republican, but they were very upset, and this is going back 4 years, about all the control, all the self, you know, determination, self-rule that local municipalities were losing to state control, to their own party.
Well, but all of this has to do with the fact that they took the lead nationally. Mm-hmm. And it what worked nationally in some places did not work nationally in local places. Yeah. And so I think the local politicians joined on to that national train, and it carried them for a long time. And now they're out on their own.
Yeah.
And they're in the state level, the Scott Walker is not here anymore, right. And he's not coming back. And so they have not been able to replace that guy, you know, that face and the power that he brought. Got to go to a break.
Thanks for letting me join you, Earl and Todd. Have a great show, you guys.
All right.
Thanks again.
Take care, Don.
Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You can join our conversation. I am joined by Todd Alba, and we'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by none other than Mr. Todd Alba this morning. Our phone lines are open, and you guys can join us in the conversation. Todd, 2 years. It's going to be 2 years for sure that the Democrats now control the state Supreme Court. I think the next election is 2 years from now. And and many of us have sat back and watched this over the last 15 years and gnashing of teeth, watching Republicans control the state Supreme Court and do all manner of things. You know, I'm a lifelong resident of the state of Wisconsin, and I remember those years that we would always talk about how clean a government we had, and something happened and something changed. And it was when the Scott Walker regime came into place, and it upended everything. And so we've had to deal with that. And now finally there's an opportunity to maybe, you know, get some air freshener into the room and possibly, you know, overturn some of the things, the gerrymandered districts and all, and the voting issues that they created to take away people's rights to vote and all of those things that stink to high heaven. Your thoughts, man, about, you know, the fact that now after 15 years that the Democrats finally have a chance to undo some of the things that have not been in the best interest of the residents of the state of Wisconsin, both Democrat and Republican.
Right. I just want to say before we start that at the bottom of the hour here, I come up to 20 after, 23 after, for those normally listening to our show, we're so thankful and grateful to Earl for letting us piggyback on his show today. Are having some technical difficulties, so we'll come back at the top of the hour, I believe, at 9 o'clock. But thank you, Earl, again, for letting us do this. Really appreciate the simulcast. I agree with you. I mean, I worked in the building I was there from 2010 and left then in early 2015, and was there for Act 10. You know, one of the most surreal days of my life. And I worked at the Capitol in Madison for 30 years, and one of the most surreal days of my life was when I walked to the Capitol and could barely get in. 100,000 people surrounded and inside the building, and I went to the door that I usually go in. And it was so packed, I couldn't even get to the door. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And of course, we had national television cameras and everything. And there, standing at the door, is the Reverend Jesse Jackson giving a speech. And I'm like, holy cow. I mean, it hit me then, right? I mean, this is a guy, I remember Earl, I can still quote part of it, because even though I was Republican at the time, I was taken by the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, the 1988 Democratic National Convention.
That's correct.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope. I mean, that struck me as a senior in high school, a white kid in a little 5,000 person town in Southwest Wisconsin, seeing a black guy say, keep hope alive. It didn't matter the color of his skin, because it was the message that resonated with me. And I think that what you just said is so powerful, that for 15 years, people have been denied that hope. They have felt that there wasn't hope, because they've felt their rights being taken away. They've felt collective bargaining being taken away. But you know what? Yesterday, last night, was a testament to those people that they kept hope alive, and they went to the ballot box. And again, Republicans are on, in my opinion, the wrong side of the issues.
You know, Todd, when you look and see almost 19,000 people came out to vote.
Yeah.
A record. Just the fact that normally this would not be that so many people were engaged and involved, but clearly they were, because of money that brought all the people out. To be honest with you, man, I was just nauseated with the kind of commercials. And people got to figure out a way to clean this up, right? I mean, on both sides of it, we saw what happened under, Mandela Barnes, they clearly saw what happened with Janet Protasiewicz, and the answer can't be to continue to have these horrific commercials played out, the lies that people know are lies, and the fact that these people have no shame. They want to win so bad that they will talk about somebody's mother, right?
Right.
I mean, that can't be what democracy is about. But we've stooped to those levels in this country. And at some point in time, somebody has to correct this and say enough is enough on both sides of it. But clearly, when you look at how they started to attack Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a person that I know, because they thought it was the only way we could win. Well, we have to fix this in this country, or I don't know where we're headed with this, man. It's got to be fixed.
First of all, you need to have, Citizens United, which was overturned by the Supreme Court. You got to get the money out of it. That's going to be a long haul. But again, last night, Earl, the hope that I can take out of this is that ideas and energy and people's passion defeated all of what you just said. I'm not saying it's right, I agree with everything you said. I'm just saying, realistically, I think right now the way we beat this is what happened last night.
Got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Mr. Todd Alba has joined us this morning, and you can certainly, hear him. If those of you who are used to listening to my show, he's now joined us today, and I'm excited about it. Phone lines are open, Tom. I see you and others on the line. We'll take you on the other side. Be right back. If you need a friend. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I am joined by Mr. Todd Alba this morning, and I'm excited to have him on as we are talking about the outcome of the races on yesterday. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to David from Mequon. Hey, David, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Todd. What I find interesting is, so there's going to be an amendment to the Constitution with the cash bail, and that was overwhelming. So your guest was saying, well, Republican ideas don't work. But if it didn't work, it wouldn't have passed with such ease. I do think the one thing is, and I agree with you, Earl, that Dan Kelly was a horrendous candidate.
So, Dave, let me interrupt you for a second and let you come back. I feel really good, man, when after the end of what was as important an election as there's ever been in the history of the state, that Republicans took a horrible L, and instead of talking about the horrible L that they took, you want to talk about, you know, one of the referendums that they put on. Well,
because the Republicans no longer control
the state Supreme Court after 15 years. That's the issue.
Well, they have a supermajority in the Senate now.
Okay, well.
So the flip side is that if you look at what the Senate is going to do, they are going to impeach some judges that they feel that have not been doing their due diligence.
Oh, come on.
One of them actually could be Janet Protasiewicz. And the fact is that John Chisholm is definitely going to be on the list. There's no question about that. Because that's the whole reason why that particular item with the cash bail was put on the ballot was because of the whole situation with the Christmas.
Hey David, hang on a second. Let's let Todd. Todd, can you bail me out, man?
If I got enough cash, I will. I don't think anybody understood what the hell was going on with those referendums. The way they were written. So that one passed. I don't think anybody really knew what they were voting for. So I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of people didn't know what they were voting for. So I don't think you could say that was a win for Republican ideology. I will say this. We can laugh about it. But Earl, I said this last night on our election coverage. I'm not going to say who it was, but this is I can confirm this happened. And within the last 3 weeks, a Republican legislator had a meeting with Governor Evers and walked in the door before they sat down. The governor said, "Are you guys going to impeach me or what?" And this Republican legislator said, "I have no idea what you're talking about. This is a real thing." And the caller is right. We talked about this at the top of the show, Earl. You hit it. The anger they're incensed. And with this supermajority, I don't know. I mean, I still find it hard to believe that there won't be at least one Republican defection in the Senate to convict. But I do believe, whether it's judges, whether it's now a justice-elect Protasiewicz, or whether it's Tony Evers himself, I believe that we are going to see an attempt to impeach people in this state by Republicans. I do believe that.
Well, it's because, you know, they want to take their ball and go home. You know,
but there's no basis to it. It's a complete abuse of power.
David?
Well, listen. At the end of the day, when I look at this, is I didn't hear one article mentioning Citizens United when Tom comes on after me or whenever that is. The amount of outside cash that was spent on this race,
oh man,
which smashed all records. It smashed all records as far as fundraising.
Who created the Citizen Action?
I understand that. But your guest was saying, well, we got to get rid of Citizen United. That's not happening because the amount of money that can influence elections shows that it can be done. We had a lot of outside money, not within the state, but from the coast.
Well,
from multi-gazillionaires pitching.
You guys weren't crying when Mandela Barnes lost to Ron Johnson.
I'm okay. You're missing the point. We need to get rid of Citizens United.
It's not
that
happening.
That is not going to go away. That's what I'm trying to say.
I agree with that. The reason it's not going to go away is because we have a Trump Supreme Court. That's why it's not going to go away.
Well, at the end of the day, if you look at it, sir, if you look at the amount of money that has been influenced, that's where I'm saying that the Democratic Party will say, well, we got to get rid of it. That's just not the case. They use it to their
Republicans have used it. What are they supposed to do? Not use it and it's being used against them? Is that what you're...
I'm tired of hearing the people on the Democratic side saying we need to get rid of Citizens United. And what I'm saying is it's never going to happen. And what Republicans have to understand is that yes, they opened up the genie to the bottle, so to speak. You can't put it back in. I just wanted to correct your guest on that. So that was my point there. As far as going forward, though, it'll be interesting to see. Now, you said there's been no, you said this yourself, Earl. You said there's no, like, Act 10. Act 10 is going to go away, and that will have a huge bearing on taxes going in this state, going up dramatically. It's been effective, and local governments have been able to use Act 10 to keep their expenses in check.
Hey, David.
Once that's removed.
Dave. You want to know why taxes are going up locally? I'll tell you why.
Go ahead, Todd.
I will tell you why taxes are going up locally. It's because the Republican-controlled legislature, with Howard Markline as the co-chair of the JFC, have continued to not give shared revenue, the correct percent of shared revenue, to local governments. That's why we had 81 school referendums across the state, because locals... What's happening now is because Republicans have not followed through with their responsibility. Local school boards, town boards, city councils are having to put referendums on the ballot simply to, guess what, Earl? To quote-unquote protect the back to badge, to fund sheriff's departments, EMS, fire departments, fix roads, because shared revenue isn't coming from state government, which is controlled by Republicans. That's why taxes are going up. So don't give me any of this crap about if Act 10 goes away, taxes are going up. They're already going up because Republicans aren't giving us our shared revenue.
If you're just joining us, that's Todd Alba, our colleague, and he's heard in Madison simultaneously at the times that I generally am, and they've got some technical difficulties, so we're honored to have him on the air with me. And so collectively, we've got a 1-2 punch that's going to be hard to defeat. Let's go to PT from Portland. Hey, PT, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, well, I'm just following up. I don't want to, you know, what a great win for Janet. Incredible. She just beat him incredibly so.
Like a drum.
But anyways, yeah, what?
She beat him like a drum.
That's right, yeah. And I hope the two-time loser never runs again. Anyways.
I kind of hope he does. I hope he runs in 2025.
Yeah, come on, Kelly. Let's do it again. I just want to follow up with the guy who made the comment about the, you know, impeachment thing. I just read this article and it says the Wisconsin Constitution allows lawmakers to remove state officials for corrupt conduct in office or for crimes and misdemeanors. But Knoedl, who beat Habish, yeah. But Knoedl has said he would consider launching impeachment proceedings for criminal justice officials who have failed at their jobs. Well, you go ahead and try that, Knoedl. You just go ahead and try it and see where that goes. You know where that's going to go? It's going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And guess what's going to happen? Yeah. It's going to be shot down. So now we now have a place to go when these Republicans pass laws that are unconstitutional. So, great show, Errol. And I had to get up early to listen to your show in Portland.
Yeah, well, I guess
but anyways.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for listening in. Really appreciate it. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man? You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people,
and you had to get up a little early in L.A.
I do every day, Earl.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I like you so much. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we have shown that. Also, I think we the people, I see, I called Dave, what about Dave? Because he's always saying, what about this, what about that, instead of answering a question. And Dave, I like you. I like CJ. I like all you guys. I'd have a beer with you without a problem. But what I would like to say is that if we want to change money in politics, if we want to get rid of Citizens United, then please, my colleagues on the right, regular citizens, if we want to do it, we can do it. All of us collectively can get rid of money out of politics by getting rid of Citizens United. We're not the ones that started the game. If H.R. 1 would have passed in the Congress, you know what? We would not be having the problem with money in politics. You guys created the game. We're just playing the game. I don't like the game, as you know. I think money in politics has been the biggest problem, whether it's lobbyists, whether it's money for campaigns that could actually be going to feeding hungry people or going to actually address some of the policy issues, or in your case, giving the middle class a tax cut rather than going and spending money on campaigns. Absolutely. And you know what? I am so tired of the Republicans and their sore loserness. And how they get up on a stage and to not – these people are – anyone that was a coach, an athletic coach who is a Republican almost makes me puke because you know what? You probably taught your players to be like that.
So,
and if you did, shame on you. All I've got to say is we want to get money out of politics. We have shown different legislative things to get money out of politics. You – brought the game in on the conservative side.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know what I want to say, Todd, and to the listening audience is, man, Rebecca, Justice Rebecca Bradley, did you hear what she had to say?
I didn't, no.
Man, she was as obstinate as Daniel Kelly. She was heartbroken. Because as long as she's been a Supreme Court justice, conservatives have been in control. And she does not know how to handle it. She acted like a brat because now she's on the other side of things. And she's been a horrible person as long as she's been in control and in charge. And now she doesn't know how to handle the fact that she's not going to be able to ramrod through all the things that she's been able to ramrod through. This is why I'm so excited, Todd, about the fact that these things are getting ready to change. And you kind of heard David kind of heartbroken, right?
I think she's most upset because she sat next to Dave Prosser last night and his hands were all over her. So I think that's what you're upset about. Hey,
we better hurry up and go to a break. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is Todd Alva is with me. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Mr. Todd Alba. And Todd, let me say this, man. I asked you if you had heard the response from Justice Rebecca Bradley. Here it is. So Rebecca Bradley, a member of the court's current conservative majority, told Kelly supporters Tuesday that the results of the election will have grave consequences. We will now have four people on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin who will take away the power of the people to rule themselves, to govern themselves, and the legislature, Bradley said. And I don't think that's what anybody in this room wanted. What most of the people of Wisconsin wanted was to see, and I hate to even say it, man, Kelly win. This is what's amazing to me. She sat there when the Republicans have been in total control, and that was okay. But now that they're not in control, the sky is falling.
Yeah, I've said this yesterday, I think, maybe on our show, but also a little bit on the election coverage. For Republicans last night, I don't want to say everything was on the line, but you pointed this out early. So many of the things that were put in place during the Walker years were on the line. And I think we have to be really careful, and whether it's your listening audience, my listening audience, who people across the state, across the country, this is a point we have to help people understand. This is not going to be Janet Protasiewicz going on the court and having a quote-unquote active court legislating from the bench, because that's the way it's going to be framed, right? That somehow now things are being legislated from the Supreme Court now that liberals slash progressives are going to be in control.
It was legislated during the tenure of the Republicans.
But that's the point. It was legislated in the legislature, in the proper branch. What's going to happen now is the judicial branch is going to do their job and apply the law as it is fairly written. And it's going to undo the illegalities, the unconstitutionalities of maps in the state. I was there, Earl, and I'm telling you, the Republicans drew these maps across the street from the Capitol. My former boss, Dale Schultz, he went in, they drew them on a computer, high-end software. And in order for a sitting state senator, a Republican, to see the draft of his district, he was asked to sign a non-disclosure agreement before he was able to look at it. He said, screw you. And he walked out. He went back to the office because I'm not looking at that. He was the only senator who said no to that and didn't sign it. This was illegally done. So what's going to happen, Earl, whether it's that, whether it's getting abortion rights in line for women, it is correcting the wrongs. These are judicial decisions, and this is going to be the proper use of the Supreme Court.
Well, I have to tell you, man, those of us who suffered throughout those decisions that were made many, many years ago and knew that what was happening was not right and yet was supported by far too many, some who are still in the legislature and have benefited from that power. And so we knew these things had happened. We couldn't prove it, And the fact that, you know, this is coming around again, what goes up must come down. There's got to be a yang to every yin. And so finally, you know, there should be some justice. And maybe we can get back to clean government in the state again. Because that's when the government and in the state became dirty. All of my life as a young man, Wisconsin was looked at as the cleanest government of most of the states in this country. And so people walked around in the state with their heads up because we had clean government. That was when we wound up going down the path that has benefited a few and not the masses. So the fact that some of these things are going to be turned around, they can call it legislating from the bench or whatever it is they want to call it. Mm-hmm. Some of us are going to call it poetic justice. And David, who's a good friend of mine, is a prime example of people who now, the chickens coming home to roost, are not going to be able to handle this. Because right. they've been able to benefit mm-hmm. from these mm-hmm. types of policies that have yep. not benefited the average Wisconsinite.
You know, what do they say about karma, Earl? Yeah. It can come back to, we'll just say it can come back and bite you. We'll keep it clean for morning radio. But there's a little bit of karma here, right?
Yes.
A little bit of karma. And that's okay. Because isn't it ironic that it was a Republican fighting Bob La Follette back at 1912 in that era that started clean government in this state, started voter expansion, right. started open government laws. And he left the party, became a progressive, of course. But that shows you how the Republican Party has changed. And you're 100% right, Earl, is that this state used to be, to borrow the Reagan line, a shining city on a hill for clean government, for progressive government, for open government. Right. And it's time that we get back to that in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, man, Todd, if you look, I think, and Wisconsin is a harbinger. This is not some situation that is, you know, Pluto in an alignment of the planets so far away from the sun. This is what is getting ready to happen across this nation, mm-hmm. that the change is in process. And it needed to happen, my friend. You said you change your affiliations. And so it needs to happen because at risk is the nation. To continue down the path that the nation had been going, my friend, for the last 15 years or more, even nationally, was a death knell for our nation. And you can talk about democracy all you want to. It's been endangered during that period of time. And it wasn't the Democrats who endangered it.
And Earl, isn't it just rich? And isn't it wonderful that this kind of glitch we had in our internet today brought us together on both of our shows across Wisconsin? Because it doesn't matter whether you come from an Earl area, a rural area. It doesn't matter whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're gay, whether you're straight. Guess what? People want democracy. People want to be heard. And that's what unites this state. And that's what unites civic media. And I'm so excited to be with you this morning, my friend. Thank you for all you're doing.
You left one thing out, whether your hair is black or white like mine.
you at least got hair, Earl. My hair is about gone.
So we've got to go to a break. 844-967.
See you later, Earl.
2780. All right. It's good to see you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
You too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Bye-bye.
We'll be joined by none other than the Dawn of Resistance herself, Maggie Dawn. Be right back.